Thank you, God, for your great words today. Comfort our hearts and our minds. Give us peace. Help us to understand these things. And please speak through me so your people hear you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God is eternal. God is not constrained by time. But we human beings are. We live in time. We use terms like too early. Not very frequently, but sometimes you do. Too early. On time. Just in time. Too late. Thank God he is never late. He is always in the present. God is the I am, which he revealed to Moses, the becoming one, the I am. That's the way he revealed himself. God is eternal, he's sovereign, and he is all powerful, and he is love, and he can never be late because he's always on time. Verse 21, when Jesus crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. He goes back to the western shore of the Galilee. This time, no storms. Remember the storm when he went to this side? Guess what? A multitude is gathering. Everywhere he goes, there's a multitude, a crowd, to hear Jesus. Don't you wish that was true today? People just wanting to hear about the Lord all over the place. Wouldn't that be awesome? And verse 22, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Jesus is drawing all kinds of people. Here's a prominent man, a ruler, probably could be disbarred from ruling there. But the word is getting out about Jesus. And he has no problem going to see Jesus because he's in need. He could be cut off from his position, but he was desperate. Why was he desperate? He fell at his feet and he begged him earnestly, saying, "My daughter, my little daughter, lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." He just falls at Jesus' feet in worship. This tells us he's a believer. He's believing in what he's doing because he bows at his feet and he's a ruler. So we know he has been touched by the Lord, what the Lord has done. And he begs Jesus. It's interesting. Phil shared how last week there was all kinds of begging and pleading. And there's still this begging going on. And there should be in our life. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's not just this everyday prayer. It's this fervent, earnest prayer, where the Lord knows it's from your heart. His daughter is at the point of death. A desperate situation, a hopeless situation, a heartbreaking situation. Can you imagine losing a little girl? He knew, he had the faith that Jesus could heal her. He didn't say he would, but he knew he could. Because God works in various ways. Sometimes healing comes, sometimes doesn't. But we need to know in our heart that he could. He has the power to do it. And that gives us hope that he could do it. Whatever you're going through today, he can do it. He can. He knew. This ruler knew. And we need to know that. And the ruler tells us here, in verse 23, begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Just come, lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. If you touch her and heal her, she will live." Even if she's at the point of death, at this point where he's talking to him now. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So Jesus agrees to go help this man's daughter. He says, "Let's go to your house. Let's touch her and heal her." I'll bet you he was excited. Maybe you've prayed and the Lord answered you in your prayers and said, it will be done. Isn't that a glorious time when he does that? Oh, you just have that confidence. It's going to happen. He was all excited. The next section of the story here, we went over a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the man with the withered hand stretching out and touching Jesus. We went over this, so we'll go over it briefly again. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. A certain woman, who knows how old she is? We don't know. But we know she had an issue of blood for 12 years. And I'm sure this woman didn't feel too good. 12 years. Really trying to check it out and heal it. And here's the bad part. And she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Do you realize that she suffered many things from many physicians? A lot of times you go to get treated and you end up worse off. This happens often. We've seen that happen with any of you in this church. You know, you go and a doctor can't do something or does something and it's the wrong thing or it didn't make you any better. What it means is the treatments were probably very painful because, you know, it says that from the physician she suffered many things. So it had to hurt whatever they were doing. And on top of that, it caused her many problems. You know, in life, her life was made worse. How discouraging is that? When you get an affliction or a pain that won't go away, it really wears on you, doesn't it? I mean, it's not a good time. You live your life, but boy, you always got that pain, that suffering. And that's what she lived with. Day to day, wakes up and back at it again. How discouraging. But even more discouraging is that she spent all that she had and was no better. Now, that's a bummer. You say, well, I've got all this money. I'm going to use it to get myself treated. And you spend it all and you're still not healed. What a horrible situation. I would say that's more discouraging, more depressing. You use all your resource, everything you have. Doctors didn't work. Your money didn't work. Now, if it can't get any worse, it does, because it ends with, she rather grew worse. Now, what's worse than spending all your money to get healed? What's worse than that is spending all your money to get healed and you get worse. That's a very depressing story so far, isn't it? You know, she didn't get any better. If we stopped right here and says, well, we'll pick it up next Sunday. We're out of time. Yep. They shared too much music today. We got to go home. You know, if we stopped right here, and you never share too much in music. I'm just joking. It's just great and beautiful. Can't get enough of it. If we stopped here with the physicians, the money running out, feeling worse, it would be a tragedy. It would just be a tragedy. But this tragedy is going to turn to a happy story. All because of Jesus. Nothing in the world could help this woman. No resource, no people, nothing could help this woman. It's a good story. Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. She heard about Jesus and she did something about it. She sought him out. She came to him. Thank God she did. There is one called the Great Physician. And that's Jesus. She heard about Jesus and she came behind him. Hey, he's in town. He's here. I've got to get to him. She got behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. You know, it's never too late for the Lord to work. Isn't that wonderful? Did you ever give up? Well, it's not going to work out. No hope. Let's be honest. Let's take our church faces off and let's get real. Did you ever say it's not going to work out? There's no hope in this situation. Now, no Christians watching you, you're free to do this in your home. But did you ever get to that point? We all get to that point. Well, man, it's over. I mean, I can really make something really bad when I get into it. We can do that, can't we? Man, look at it. We've tried everything. Nothing's going to work. There's no hope for this person or this thing or the resource or anything. We can get all upset. We can get angry. We can even kind of think about God in a bad way in our mind. And you know what? We need to remember, we can't do anything without the Lord. We can't. It's good to know that we're helpless. Because until we do, we won't put our total trust in the Lord. Now, God uses people and us to do things, but he'll tell us what to do. But it's good to know, I can't. Jesus promised us one thing. He says, without me, you can do nothing. But then we're told, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that wonderful? But as long as we think there's a little bit in us left, one more call, one more meeting, one more thing, God says, go ahead. And guess what? Doesn't work. We have to put these people we're reading about today, put their total trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. And that's where they were. We have to be at that place. Maybe you're wondering, why am I going through this today? Well, don't question yourself. Take it to God. And just say, God, help me to get through this today. And you'll do it. You'll do it. You're not going to know until you do it. If, you know, she says, if only I touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Because he's my hope. Because I tried everything else and nothing else worked. There are times I've tried everything and it didn't work and I woke up the next day and I tried one more thing. There's always one more thing. It'll never end. It's our will to let it go and put all our trust in the Lord. If only I touch the Lord, he'll do it. That's where we have to be. Total trust in the Lord. I am amazed at how God works. He just works. The thing that, and I don't know if it's right to say this, the thing that I dislike is that he waits till the last minute so often. I'd like it done a little earlier. But what do we learn through that? Trust in the Lord. It's not even over in death. We're going to read that today. You see, she says, if only I touch his clothes, I will be made whole. That was her step of faith, her point of faith. She did something. She sought him and she touched him. She had an issue of blood for 12 years, but she knew it wasn't too late. She didn't say, it's over. She knew it wasn't too late, but only when she came to Jesus. And so then she knew she could be healed. What a great day. She put all her trust in the Lord. Because we read in verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She was healed. Just like that. That's how fast things happen when the Lord is in it. Just like that. Sometimes we think, oh, this is going to take a long time to get over. Oh, this is going to take a long time to get through this. Oh, this is going to take a long time for this to work out or get me back where I should be. No. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, God works instantly. You can walk into church weighed down, burdened, and walk out of here free as a bird. Just put your life in his hands and let him handle it. And Jesus knew, and he knows when we touch him. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? a spiritual touch, not just a physical touch. The Lord sees our heart, our motives. He knows the touch of faith. He hears the fervent, honest prayer. He knows when we know it's got to be Him. And we have faith in Him. He knew someone touched him. He looks around at the crowd and asks, "Who touched my clothes?" What he's really saying is, "Hey, don't wrinkle the robe. Don't soil it. I'm looking fine today. Check me out." No, he's not worried about that. He's saying, "Who touched me?" Now remember, the multitudes were thronging him. He wants people to touch him by faith. He's really saying, someone in this multitude, in this crowd pushing against me, reached out in faith and touched me and came to me for help. This is something I've never shared because I don't know how people take it. But when I read this, I think of that. I've often wondered how God hears every prayer at every moment in the world at the same time. Maybe you never thought about that. I hope I didn't get you started thinking on that. Just believe it. But He hears all of us at the same time. Instantly. Isn't that an awesome thing? The spiritual realm, we have no idea what it's like. We can't measure it by humans. But God hears you. Sometimes people feel God doesn't hear me. He hears you. He hears me at the same time. And He answers. He's saying, someone touched me, that spiritual touch. Now, His disciples, still living in this natural realm, His disciples said to Him, "You see the multitude thronging you and you say, 'Who touched me?' Jesus, what's wrong with you? There's crowds all around you and you say, 'Who touched me?'" They're still living in that natural realm guided by human rules. They're probably saying, "Are you serious, Lord? The mob is pressing in on you and you say, 'Who touched me?'" There's one good thing that came out of the Super Bowl last week. I can use it as an example today. After the Super Bowl Sunday, I watched after the game. I don't know if you did. I watched after the game, and Brady and some of the players were so thronged on the field, there was such a crowd down there that they couldn't move. I was fearful for their life, and the news media couldn't even get to them. It was so packed. And I thought of this. It's as if He would turn around to the camera and say, "Who touched me?" Yeah, you got thousands of people. You can't even move. Jesus was in that situation. Throngs of people can be, you know, tens of thousands of people in a meeting or a church. And He's saying, "Wait a minute, who's the one that touched me in here today?" Maybe 9,999 didn't. He knows who touched me, who came to touch me, because they have no hope out there or in themselves, and they need me. Who touched me? You know, when Jesus said the way to heaven, you know, the way is narrow and few there be that find it, I can believe it. I think there are few that find the real thing. Born again, trusting in the Lord. And He knows who they are. Touching Him, really knowing Him. And He knows that sincere prayer of faith, that touch from the heart. Now, there's a difference between crowding in and touching. There are crowds, but one touched Him. So it isn't the multitudes. It's the one that touches Him that he reaches back and touches. We need to come expecting always to be touched by the Lord because we're seeking to be in touch and in contact with Him. So verse 32, He looked around to see her who had done this thing. I want to see who it is. He does this to draw her out. To draw her faith out, to let it be public. the results of what her faith will be. He wants to expose her because he wants to teach on faith. He doesn't want to embarrass her. He wants to honor her faith. And we learn from this lesson what faith does. What we need to do is share what good things the Lord has done for us. We shared that last week or the week before when we were told to go and preach. We are told to share. Remember, as Phil shared, the man that was healed from the demons says, I want to go follow the Lord now. He wanted to get in the boat with him and didn't want to let go of Jesus, be wherever Jesus went. And Jesus said, no, I'm going to use you, but you're not going to be here with me. I want you to go back to your home and share with your friends and your relatives. I want to use you there. And that was in Decapolis, that area. And we read in a couple chapters in the future, and that's the place they asked Jesus to leave. But then we read in a couple chapters ahead, that place is turned around now. Now they're bringing people to be healed by him. One person makes a difference if you touch Jesus, and then he touches you back. We have to have this personal relationship. We can get caught up with the crowds. We must all know we have this personal relationship with Jesus, and he loves you so dearly, and he wants to touch you, and he wants you to glorify your Father in heaven. So we reach out and we touch him, and then he blesses us back, but then he wants us to go share that with other people. And that's how people get saved. They hear testimonies, you know, and they say, wow, God can forgive me of my sin and change my life. We don't hide in the crowd. That woman shouldn't have stayed in the crowd. He says, come on out. You need to leave the crowd and share what he's done. And it was through your faith. In verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, she's probably wondering, what's he going to do to me? Shouldn't I have touched him? She's fearing and trembling. She, knowing what had happened to her, came and he fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She said, I'm the one. You touched me, but I'm healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. He says, go. Your faith has made you well. We've been going through this in Mark. Faith brings fear. No faith brings fear. Faith brings peace. There's peace or fear in our life based upon our faith. We see this in this chapter. He still does that today. He honors our faith in him alone. So she's healed. She can go away. Can you imagine the change of her life now? She can go to the synagogue. She was unclean before. She can partake of everything. You know, what if you could never go to church because you had such an infection or something that could spread that you could no longer go to church, do anything, be in public? Wouldn't that be horrible? 12 years. This day, this lady's back in it. Wow, what a change of life. Jesus changes lives. He heals us of our sin. And now we're alive and have real life. Now we get back to Jairus and his story. I wonder if Jairus was getting anxious with this interruption. He's probably saying, hey, Jesus, I called you first. and you're stopping and helping this woman over here. Come on, my daughter. Again, he's out of the time continuum. He's eternal. He's never late. You can't say, well, it's too late for the Lord to work now. He stopped to help that person over there. They're healed. They came into church this morning and said they're healed. God healed her. She's all better. I wish it were me. You wouldn't say that out loud, but you're probably saying it in your heart. But, you know, did it for them. Why doesn't he do it for me? He's never too late in your life. That's why he doesn't rush. Isn't that great? Doctors don't make house calls anymore. Jesus does. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's not too late, but I'm sure Jairus is probably, let's go. Verse 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Do you think that made him feel worse? He didn't help me. He had a chance to help me. and he took his time, did something else. I don't know that God loves me. I don't know what the problem is. Maybe I'm not walking with the Lord right. What did I do wrong? We can analyze and analyze and analyze. It's never too late for the Lord. Don't write it off. There's hope for you today. Maybe you've been going through something for 12 years. Maybe it's 12 years and one day today. And this is the final day. I always think about this. What if I quit in praying for someone or something or doing something? What if I quit a day early and you go to heaven? I don't know that God would let you know, because that wouldn't be heaven then, but what you wonder about your life. Oh, man. Why did I stop? Why did I stop praying? The victory would have come. See, that's our hope. That's what keeps us going. The Lord never sleeps or slumbers. He's alive, and he hears every prayer. He knows my thoughts. We sang that today. Those are real words. That's the way God is. Those are his characteristics. If somebody comes to you and said, too late, she's dead, don't get troubled. He said, don't bother Jesus anymore. No sense in bringing him here. God exists outside of time. Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Hey, wait, don't get discouraged. Believe. Just believe that I was going to heal her. I was on my way there. Just because I stopped and helped somebody else out doesn't mean I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm still going to take care of your daughter. But you notice he says, you must believe. We must get to that point where our hope is in the Lord. No matter how it looks to us, our hope is in the Lord. He has all power. He can raise the dead. You know, he gives Jairus hope. Just believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He just takes this little group, the inner circle, with him. And he says, come on, let's go. You know, in man's eyes, it was hopeless. But these guys, I don't know if they were just stronger believers. What? He says, you're coming with me to see this. You know, he raised Lazarus, didn't he? Lazarus was raised for a while. I was dead for a while already. All he had to do was say, come forth, Lazarus. And he came forth. God rules. The dead obey him. They have to. In many eyes, though, this was a hopeless situation, too late, but not for God. It's never too late. So verse 37, he took these guys, and in verse 38, he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. They would hire professional mourners. When someone died, there would be a lot of mourning and weeping going on. You know, just going on and on, showing the sadness and the grief. And he walks into that situation where everybody's weeping and wailing. The girl is dead. He is too late. And verse 39, when he came and he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. At that point, I believe he took her from dead to sleeping because he said that. She's not dead, she's sleeping. Changed her case right there. Little girl's going to be alive. She's sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Isn't that sad? Verse 40, they ridiculed him. Jesus said, no, she's not dead. And they ridiculed him. People mock him today. Maybe they mock you for trusting the Lord. Maybe people laugh at you, persecute you, make fun of you. You know, it's horrible. Why? Because they put God in a box. Or maybe not even believe in God. Say, well, he could never do that. You really believe that stuff? You Christians, you're narrow-minded, you're foolish. You think the Lord could do something like that? So what does he do? He puts them all outside. He keeps eliminating people that are going to see this miracle. We want to believe because we want to see miracles. Don't eliminate yourself. So he takes the mom and dad and where the child was lying. And then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. He speaks in Aramaic, probably the language of that household. And he says, little girl, wake up. But the closer translation is, arise, girl. Arise. Arise, little girl. And immediately the girl arose and walked. Stood right up as if nothing was wrong and started walking. Do you think everybody was amazed? Woo. For she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with amazement. It's never too late for Jesus. She rose up. I'm sure her parents were very happy. This woman that we read of earlier had an issue of blood for 12 years. Was unclean, not allowed to do anything. Jesus healed her and made her whole. Wasn't too late. This little girl was brought up in home of a ruler of the synagogue, a religious background. And she was 12 years old. Both different last period of 12 years. So he heals both needs, the outcast and the one raised up in church. Doesn't matter. He heals both. Just like that. Because they reached out and touched Jesus. Brought back home this little girl. We see that Jesus brings life, and we know this, that he brings life to a sinner. We're lost and dead in our sin. But as one reaches out and touches Jesus, we're healed of our sin, and we're given an inheritance in heaven. How wonderful. And you just believe it. Even though people may ridicule you and mock you, you just believe it. Verse 43. He commanded them strictly that no one should know it and said that something should be given her to eat. You know, he speaks of the spiritual and natural. You know, she really needs to eat now. Been lying there for a while, you know. Feed her. Go on with your life. He's healed you. But he didn't want people to speak of him yet, and we see that a lot in the Gospels, because he must first go to the cross. He didn't want to be set up and acclaimed for his miracles and be promoted to king here. He must go about his Father's business. So he tried to keep it a low key so that the focus would be on him and what he came to do, to lay down his life for us for our sin. So great, great news for both of these people. And next week, chapter 6. Father, we thank you for your word today. What an encouragement. We always have hope because it's never too late for you. Lord, continue to encourage us in our faith. Keep the enemy away from getting into our mind. I pray, Lord, you put a shield about us. I pray that this morning we all leave here, leaving behind all those things that were overwhelming us. It's the Lord's day. Let us celebrate it with you, Lord, encouraged in you. And I do pray for all those that are hurting and sick in our church. Many afflictions. We would pray, Lord, that you would touch them as they reach out and touch you. Pray that you perform miracles and healings and minister to every person in this body. Lord, we need your help as a church, as a people, personally. And you're the answer to everything that's going on. So please, as we reach out to you, help us. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.